Welcome to the football podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Full.
Hi, everybody. First of all, apologies because we have been mega slack at updating. I don't even want to look at when we did our last update. But on the upside, this has probably been our most successful season of predictions ever because while we didn't make too many correct predictions at the beginning of the season, we kind of made a prediction of what sort of needed to happen for different clubs, and if they did, it would end up that way.
I think our mid-season predictions pretty much have worked out, roughly.
So it's all over, every game has been played, all the positions are now final. And as it seemed like after Christmas and pretty much February, Leicester City were destined to win, and they did.
Yeah, well, they keep playing good football. That was basically it. They won the games they needed to, as we said they needed to.
And let's be honest, they avoided injuries to key players.
Yes.
They made 81 points, which is, while a good number, it wouldn't have been enough to have beaten Chelsea last season or Manchester City the season before. So a lot of their competition have not played as well as they could have. That being said, they did as well as they could. They've only lost 3 games all season, which is a stellar performance.
Yeah, that's just amazing. The funny thing about that they lost to Arsenal twice.
Yeah.
So whilst every other team basically fell away at some point, Leicester City kept it up. So they keep the consistency. You say their good players didn't falter, didn't get injured, didn't drop out of form, really. So, I mean, it worked well for them, and they were deserved champions, and they got it reasonably easily in the end.
Yep. Now, if you had told Arsenal fans at the beginning of the season that they would come second, they would probably be okay with that. I don't think they would have complained.
I think, yeah, I mean,
but they're pretty happy with this now because they're ahead of Spurs.
But that's the only good thing that came out of this for them. I mean, it was crazy. They've ended second, and you feel like you so underachieved Arsenal. Like, it's
Arsenal
crazy.
Should have won the league this season. Oh, this was their year. They had a weak Man City, a weak Manchester United. They had a weak Chelsea. Like, Chelsea wasn't even amongst the competitors. Liverpool, none of these usual suspects are anywhere near there. They would have been competing with Spurs and Leicester for that top position. Arsenal just lost too many games, gave away too many soft points.
Well, they were top kitty into February, and then they had their normal February-March slump of just losing to teams they shouldn't do, drawing games they really should win, and they just fell away. I mean, in the end, they were a bit lucky to end above Spurs. Spurs sort of handed them second place in the end. I think Spurs took 1 point, 2 points out of the last 4 games? Something stupid like that? I mean, it's crazy.
Spurs, once again, another club who, beginning of the season, if you told them you would finish third, that most Spurs fans would be absolutely ecstatic with that. But I think a fair number of Spurs fans were okay with not winning the league. I think they kind of understood that Leicester had a bit of destiny about them, and they didn't mind that it was Leicester that won. But I think the fact that they fell away so easily, like, they barely made it to 70 points. And Arsenal, to be fair, I think deservedly went ahead of them in second at the end.
At the end there, Arsenal had the better end to the season. I think that will hurt Spurs fans the most, is the fact that they were second, and they were perhaps the second best team in the league, really, for at least most of the second half of the year. And really, if we look at over the season in the whole, just their last 4 or 5 games, they really threw it all in. Like, I think the title started to look very much like it was slipped away, that Leicester was going to rock to it, and their hearts just fell out of it.
Okay.
And they just didn't have anything to show for those last few games.
Yeah. I think this is where a club like Spurs and Arsenal, who haven't in a while, have not been, like, Arsenal had that championship winning team, is DNA has kind of been lost. There's nobody from those winning teams that are still at Arsenal that I can think of. And apart from Wenger.
Other than the coach.
This is the games where, like, a team like Manchester United would just keep winning in the peak of the, because they knew that if they dropped it, they have to keep pressure on the guys above them. Someone like Sir Alex Ferguson would play all the right mind games, would go on about, oh, look, we're just going to try our best, get as many points as possible, but we're not favorites anymore.
Yeah.
Clearly, they're playing really well. They're going to, and, you know, inevitably some team would, the team ahead of them would fall off.
Happened so often under Sir Alex. I mean, that he'd play that. It was just crazy how he could come from so far back and just start playing the mind games. And the team that had all the hot run of form was looking to take it at a canter would suddenly fall apart. And United would just, say, keep keep on the pressure, keep the wins, and just know all it would take is, you know, a couple of drop points, a draw here or there that was unexpected for who was ahead of them, and they were back in it.
And once or twice when he succeeded with that against Arsenal, it would be because Arsenal would just get a ravaging bunch of injuries. And traditionally, Arsenal always had too small a squad, even back in their glory days leading up to their perfect season. And Arsenal, to be honest, did the same to Manchester United in 1998 under Arsene Wenger. But though that the core of that team was part of the Arsenal team from the early 90s who were quite successful under George Graham. So, but that DNA, like I said, that DNA seems to have been lost. Like, you just try to keep winning. And heck, Arsenal used to do that under Manchester United. There would be times when our Manchester United were like, yep, we've got this 9-point buffer. Yeah. And Arsenal would just be like, yeah, but if you drop two or three games, we're not going to lose.
No, exactly.
So, and they just keep winning and keep playing really well. And they did that against Chelsea a few times as well when Chelsea came pretty close to winning. So that a side that like tries to win. And I think Spurs lost that. That might be something down to experience, but it's this. And Arsenal, well, I think they just had a fixture clog up. They just have too many games at this weird part of the season where they just seem to drop everything.
Yeah, that's become a bit of a thing for them. February, March, the last few years, for some reason just drop games, they go off the ball a bit. They do get injuries, and say they do have a light squad, so a couple of key injuries, and it's sort of you know, very hard for them to keep up any momentum. But it just seems to be the same time every year. And until they get over that, I think happened this year is going to be the best they can hope for, really.
Yeah, I think Arsenal very... Like, this was their season to win, and not last season, which is when Chelsea were always going to win, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But the season before that, where Manchester City had a moment there where they were wobbling and they were not quite... And then they remember they were Manchester City. That was an opportunity for Arsenal to catch up and stay ahead, which is what Arsenal teams of old would do. So there's not enough of that. But moving on from the two North London clubs, we've got our two Manchester clubs. Now, neither of these clubs, if you told them at the beginning of the season that if you told City they were going to finish fourth and United they were going to finish fifth, neither of them would be happy with it. Neither of their fans are happy with
it. No.
I think City fans can be a bit happier because they know that Pellegrini's leaving. He's got them one championship. While I think it's really hard for him to motivate his squad when they knew halfway through he wasn't going to be there.
From when we knew that he was leaving, City sort of just, they tried. You can see that they were trying to do it. Like, no, this isn't affecting us really. But deep down, they're like, yeah, this is not, it doesn't matter if we win, it's not going to.
And there's a bunch of players, that core of the City champion teams with your David Silvas, your Yaya Toure's, your Vincent Kompany's, they just seem to have dropped form. Like, David Silva, still kind of good, but Yaya Toure and Vincent Kompany, I would never thought I'd say those two players were bad by their standards. I mean, bad seasons.
Yeah, yeah. No, it just they haven't looked like themselves.
No.
And it's just been crazy.
And they really miss James Milner, who would have been very useful for them in those games where Yaya Toure was not performing, to have a player like him. City, though, we know they are bringing a really good coach, so their fans have that to look forward to. They have enough money to rebuild, and I don't think they need to extensively rebuild. I mean, the coach might be able to rejuvenize players like your Yayas and your companies, because he likes those sort of players, Guardiola, and there's nothing stopping the owners of City from going out there, buying a few players here and there.
Well, that's what they do. You can guarantee City will splash the money around this over the summer transfer period. It's what City does.
And they have a good youth team. They have good young players coming on. So maybe they won't necessarily splash as much money. And they might be happy to let Guardiola go, look, take your time, build a team. We want you to build a dynasty. And Guardiola's happy with that, I think. Yeah. I mean,
I think Guardiola will go in and he'll assess what he wants. And he'll cut the people he doesn't want. If they don't fit a system, I think he'll be fully happy just to go, no, you're not going to fit my system. It's not going to work. You find meaningful employment somewhere else and I'll get in the players that fill that position. But I think you're right. I think most of the players at City, he'll be reasonably happy with. He'll be able to work with. And he won't just go looking for big names just for big names' sake. He'll be wanting to fill the gaps.
There might be one or two players from Bayern that he brings over. Thiago Alcântara comes to mind. Players like that. But I don't I don't see him doing wholesale changes, and he might be happy to promote people from the youth team. It is what he does.
Yeah.
Following on from that, we've got Manchester United, who now apparently Louis van Gaal only wanted to have a 2-year contract because he felt 3 was too long. And it's really telling that the Manchester United board begged him to take a 3-year contract, which he ended up doing. So little we can tell about what's going on at Manchester United these days, because they just, after problems that they had with the David Moyes season, they just don't tell reporters anything. And reporters pretty much make things up on the fly.
Yeah.
But from what the people who blog, who write the fanzines, who seem to know a bit more about what goes on, and you know, they don't think that Louis van Gaal will be shown the door, regardless of whether he wins this tomorrow and the FA Cup. They're going to let him take his time, but we don't know who's going to follow. The problem is, regardless of whether Louis van Gaal leaves this season or next season, what is the legacy? Whoever's coming into Manchester United has to do some pretty dramatic changes. Yeah. Louis van Gaal has not left a solid team for somebody to take over.
And
if somebody went into Arsenal today, and Arsene Wenger couldn't be, Arsenal have a team that somebody can work with do something with. Same with Spurs, same with City. United, I don't know if they have that. They've got a lot of good players. What sort of system do you play those players in? And yeah, it's going to be difficult. I don't know how soon it'll be before Man United win another trophy. This FA Cup might be one of their last in a long time. Don't see them improving under the Glaziers and their management. It's just as bad as Randy Lerner's management in Aston Villa. It's just that they had 10 years of Alex Ferguson being Alex Ferguson. Once he left, they were always going to struggle.
And it's really shown. I mean, as soon as he's left, they haven't really put together a decent season since he's left.
No.
He won the trophy with him last season out, and then since then, just nothing.
Yeah.
Been struggling along. I think the lowest they've fallen seventh in the season. So they've sort of sat there or thereabouts, but they haven't looked like the Manchester of old.
Since Alex Ferguson has left, their highest position has been fourth under Louis van Gaal last season. So this season, they're fifth. Who knows where they'll be next season. Southampton, they've got a UEFA Cup spot. They should be pretty happy, I think.
I think they should be pretty happy. I think both them and West Ham United below them will be happy, but there would be a little bit of could have been better. I mean, yay, but there's that little bit of
West Ham definitely could have been a bit better. But that being said, I think West Ham definitely had a good season. Nobody no West Ham fans or anyone should be feeling bad about what's happened. And if a Manchester United win the cup on Sunday, they get to Europe anyway. They'll get that third Europa League slot.
Yeah.
So the season's not over for them. They might still make it to Europe. And maybe they don't want to go to Europe. If they don't make it, if Crystal Palace win, then they get to only have the league to worry about. They don't have the additional games. But that next season is the season they're going to move to the Olympic Stadium. So having European football would be great for money side of the
club. A bit more for the climb through the coppers.
But I can see West Ham buying a lot of players. Specifically, the club that's going to lose a lot of players is Leicester. We all know this.
That is going to be the key for them being able to back the season up in any way. Leicester are talking big game about keeping their key players. And from what I heard, Vardy at least has said he's not going to sign anywhere else.
Vardy will probably not sign anywhere else. I would be surprised if Riyad Mahrez didn't sign anywhere else.
I'd be very surprised as well.
And Kolo, who has only got a $20 million buyout clause, he is definitely going somewhere.
You may as well consider him gone.
Yeah.
I know both of them are going. Leicester know both of them are going, but they talk about how they're going to keep those two players.
I mean,
we'll see.
Mahrez will probably net the club a nice 50, 60 million bucks.
Yeah.
Good premiership experience. City would be, I think, happy to buy him. I don't know about United, because we don't know the sort of players United are looking for. But Arsenal, I think, would be very happy to buy him. And Arsene Wenger has changed a bit of his MO, and he has shown willing to splurge a bit of cash for a good player.
Yeah.
Mesut Ozil, case in point. So I think entirely possible for him to go to one of those two clubs. I don't think Tottenham Hotspur, because he doesn't quite fit their system.
No.
But that being said, Pochettino might be looking to tinker a bit with that system to include a good player like that.
He can come to us at Chelsea. We can have another.
Chelsea are another club that could buy him, but we don't know the sort of players Conte is looking for. We're pretty sure it's going to be Conte that's going to take
over.
Yeah,
that's pretty much, I think that's actually confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Conte, the stuff I've read on the Chelsea site has been that Conte is coming. There hasn't been anything about it being uncertain, but I didn't actually read a article saying that, oh yes, he signed, I just heard. Yes, next year under Conte.
I don't want to pick on Chelsea because it's beating a dead horse at this point. But as a Chelsea fan, I'd be a bit wary of, like, Conte is great in the Serie A, and he's done great things with Juventus, no doubt. But the Serie A at this moment is a particularly weak league.
Yeah.
And there's not much money in there, and there's not many great players. Even Paul Pogba and Vidal aside, and Vidal's already left to go.
I think Pogba's leaving too.
Pogba will leave. And every year, their genuine world-class players go to clubs like Bayern, Real Madrid, and Barca, whereas back in the day, your Juve's and your AC Milan's would be attracting world-class players. Italy's is almost becoming a bit like France and Holland. They're becoming a league where, and Bundesliga, Bayern aside, where they build good players, but they make most of their money from raising up players who they buy cheap, getting them good, and then selling them on. And a lot of these players don't necessarily do that well outside of Serie A. So whether he can manage in England, and
it will be interesting.
Even a proven manager like Louis van Gaal has not had a good run at the Premiership. We don't even know if Guardiola will.
No,
well,
that's going to be a big question as well.
Heck, even Mourinho has had his downfalls in the Premiership because I think Chelsea's the first time, last season is one of the first times Mourinho had to be fired because the team was just awful.
Yeah, I mean, that was the reason given for the first time he was fired from Chelsea. But that was when we were fourth after a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
And still winning games and still looking okay. We're just like, it's a little off. Out you go. And there was perhaps a bit more backroom stuff going on there. This time, yes, it was just your 17th.
Yeah.
How are you staying?
Chelsea, if you told Chelsea fans at the beginning of the season that they were going to finish 10th, they would be appalled. But I think they're now relieved that they actually made the top 10 after the season they've had.
I always thought we'd make back up the top 10. I mean, we had the players there. We had that playing horribly. It was just unbelievable.
I think this
almost a bit unbelievable.
That's 12 losses. That has to be a record post-Abramovich era.
Yeah. Look, we've had more goals scored against us by, I think, the end of November than we had in the whole previous season. Mm. I think now we probably had more goals scored against us in this season.
Well, you're the only club in the top seasons. You're the only club in the top 10 that has a negative goal difference. So that's telling.
That is very telling.
So Chelsea, similar to Crystal Palace 2 seasons ago, are happy to finish 10th after escaping from relegation.